The Undivided Podcast is brought to you by 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com. Today, we reflect on the passing of State Senator Doug Erickson, who had been battling COVID-19, the horrendous responses, and what it says about the state of discourse. Plus, one city goes from helping businesses try to survive the pandemic to making money off of them. The absolutely mind-boggling proposal passed by one city council and the disastrous meeting where they tried to undo it.
I'm not comfortable with the grounds that I'm on, and I'm not going to participate.
I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is the Undivided Podcast. I appreciate you being here. I wanted to start the show today by expressing my condolences to the family and friends and colleagues of State Senator Doug Erickson. It was announced that the senator died on Friday. And while there's a lot of details we still don't know, we do know that Senator Erickson had been battling COVID-19. He had previously announced that he was infected with COVID while on a trip to El Salvador. And at the time, he was reaching out to his colleagues in Olympia, asking them if they could help him get monoclonal antibodies delivered to him overseas. He ended up going to Florida, where we know that he was treated in a hospital for COVID-19. But there's a period of time where there was a lot of secrecy behind what was going on, what the state of his health was, until we learned over the weekend that he had passed away. I'll get into some of the other points of contention and conversation around Senator Erickson's death. But of course, first and foremost, he was a father and a husband. His family shared a statement over the weekend saying, "We are heartbroken to share that our husband and father passed away. Please keep our family in your prayers and thank you for continuing to respect our privacy in this extremely difficult time." Senator Erickson had a wife and two daughters. And that is, the most heartbreaking part of this and the most important part of this is keeping his family in our thoughts and prayers, and his colleagues in Olympia as well. Senator Erickson dedicated his life to serving the people of Washington and the people of his district up in the Ferndale area. He served 12 years in the Washington State House of Representatives and had served in the state Senate since 2010. He was a staunch conservative. Certainly his views were outside the mainstream in Washington state politics. He was an avid supporter of former President Donald Trump, and he was indeed a critic of current Governor Jay Inslee and some of the state's mandates around the coronavirus pandemic. All of those things are certainly true of Senator Erickson, but they don't define his life, and they don't define his career. And so I was disgusted, annoyed, angry at some of the news coverage around his death that sought to really make his entire life's service about his support of Donald Trump and tried to make his death about his opposition to COVID mandates. I posted on my social media pages, I don't know if you guys saw this, in the Sunday Seattle Times, this is on the front page of the Sunday Seattle Times. It says obituary, and this is the headline of this obituary: "Senator Erickson, Inslee critic and Trump supporter." And I just look at that, and you've got this guy who dedicated 22 years of his life to public service, who has a wife and two daughters, and you're summing up his life by who he supports or opposes politically. Senator Erickson, Inslee critic and Trump supporter. And they knew that what they were doing with that headline, and it just really grossed me out, to be honest. And honestly, I can't say that I'm surprised. And so much of the coverage not only included, but focused on Senator Erickson's pushback against the Inslee administration for mandates during the pandemic. And one thing, I want to make clear is we don't know what Senator Erickson's vaccination status was. We have no idea if he was vaccinated or not. And there's a lot of people who are just assuming, in the media and online that he wasn't vaccinated because he was opposed to mandates. But I, for one, never heard Senator Erickson speak out against vaccines. I only ever heard him speak out against mandates and government overreach, which is really consistent with who he was as a politician and as a staunch conservative, limited government conservative. And so to jump to all these conclusions and leaps and, almost suggest that, this guy who didn't believe in COVID or something now died from COVID. I just think that that's cruel and it's unfair. It is reflective of the sad state that we find ourselves in this country. The fact that we would celebrate someone's death or diminish someone's death and the life that they lived because we didn't agree with them politically. And I will say, I saw, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Oh, so I'm going to read a couple of these. I'm torn on this because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to upset Senator Erickson's family. At the same time, I do believe that there is some use in what I'm trying to achieve in this podcast by sharing just how horrendous some of the responses to his passing were. So I'll read just a couple responses that I saw on Twitter in response to a Seattle Times article about his passing. Sorry, I feel zero sympathy for people who choose not to get vaccinated then die from COVID. You had an option to help fight it and you refused. Zero fucks. And again, we don't even know. They're just making an assumption he wasn't vaccinated. I don't have that information. And I imagine a random person on Twitter doesn't either. Another comment, Darwinism in real time. Another, good riddance. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. One less shitty individual to deal with. And I mean, I could go on and on. There was one talking about, thanks for telling me so I can go dance on his grave. You know, it's, I just did a story the other day with Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan, and we went through and talked about some of the threats that she has received and her family have received from both political extremes. And, you know, part of me hopes that by sharing that and kind of reading things out loud, that people who would engage in that kind of behavior would maybe wake up and realize, you know, when it's said out in the light of day, that how bad it is and how bad it sounds. I don't know if that's being too optimistic, but I also think that there's an opportunity for politicians to speak out against this kind of behavior. You know, some Democrats in Olympia had some very nice sentiments to share upon news of Senator Erickson's passing. I do wish some of them had been more forceful in speaking out against some of the comments that basically were suggesting he deserved to die because of his stance on mandates. You know, it's important for all of us not to just passively consume the trash on social media, but when we see something that's wrong, when we see something that erodes our public discourse, we need to stand up and say something. We need to call people out. You know, I call Undivided, as you guys know, political coverage for the anti-fringe. And this is about aggressively rejecting the fringes. And honestly, I think that that means not letting some of these types of comments and this type of behavior go unnoticed, because we all see it. But how often do we comment or call people out or tell people that what they're saying isn't right? But again, most important in this is that two girls are without their father. A woman is without her husband, and someone who decided to dedicate his life to serving the citizens of his district is gone. And yes, you know, we have additional questions about the circumstances around his death that I'm sure will come out in the weeks ahead. But everyone's first reaction should be one of sympathy, not one of celebration. And I can't believe I even have to say that. You probably ate at what's called a streetery during the pandemic. So businesses that maybe didn't have an outdoor space at times when indoor dining was prohibited, they were allowed to create these streeteries out on the street where usually traditionally parking would go, a little covered patio area outside. It was actually really nice because I always like more, the more patio space, the better. And so I had always hoped that where feasible and possible that some of these streeteries could remain in place. Obviously, you know, you always have to be concerned about the level of parking available for businesses and retail, but I'm always going to, if it's not terrible out, I'm always going to choose a patio over not a patio. But anyway, these streeteries were incredibly helpful to businesses during the pandemic and likely enabled some to be able to survive. Because if you ban indoor dining, I mean, we already know how challenging that was for a lot of bars and restaurants. So up in Edmonds, which if you guys aren't, I know there's some people who listen to the podcast who don't live in Washington State. Edmonds is this idyllic, smaller town right on the waterfront. It's got like two streets where it's really nice to just walk up and down, and there's shops and restaurants. My friend Jessamine lives up there, and we'd always go to her house and then walk downtown and get schnackered and then walk back home. But they're City of Edmonds allowed these streeteries during the pandemic, which is normal. A lot of cities did that, and it was really helpful. There was debate over, okay, should we return the streets to parking and get rid of these streeteries? Because apparently the city had gotten some complaints from like the elderly who were in retail saying, hey, we really need some parking back. So rather than making a decision about, okay, are these streeteries necessary to keep businesses open? Or are we at the stage in the pandemic where people can be eating inside and can feel safe doing so? We have one of the highest vaccination rates in the country, so maybe it's time to do away with these streeteries. Instead of making a decision based on, you know, like where we are in the pandemic, the city of Edmonds, and I still can't quite wrap my mind around this, they decided that restaurants could keep their streeteries for the next few months, but only if they pay the city a one-time payment of $4,000. So you went from allowing these streeteries due to an emergency situation to help keep businesses open, and now you've turned them into a moneymaker? Either you need the streeteries or you don't. Either the pandemic is in a place where we still need to give people an option to eat outside, or it's not. So this thing that became about the survival of restaurants is now about this town making money. Apparently, their argument for this completely arbitrary $4,000 figure is that it will help pay for some additional public parking off the street. There hasn't been any figures provided as to why it's $4,000 for every business and exactly how much this new parking solution they have will be. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, the street area, that's taxpayer property. And so if we're in a situation where now these streeteries are no longer necessary and they're taking up space that's desperately needed for parking for other businesses, then that's fine. But to say, oh, you know, you can keep it for a little bit, but we're going to charge you $4,000. It doesn't make sense to me if we're still looking at this through the realm of the pandemic. And apparently, I am not the only one who found this absolutely absurd, because the Edmonds City Council decided in just a matter of days to reconsider this $4,000 charge. So they passed this on December 17th, on Friday, and over the weekend, some council members said, okay, people are mad about this, we need to reevaluate, and so there was an emergency meeting scheduled for tonight. And this is why the podcast is late today, because sat through what was one of the most amateur, unprofessional, absolutely absurd government meetings I've ever witnessed in my life.
Next up, we have audience comments.
So first they hear from the public. And it was so funny because you can tell it's a small town because everybody in the public, even if they had a complaint, they were so nice. Like this guy came on and he eventually went after the council members, but he started by complimenting them on the Christmas decorations in Edmonds. And it was just very funny. So there were some very like just perturbed citizens, but they were still pleasant about it. You know what I mean?
We very much appreciate all the work that the council has done on this subject.
And I appreciate your service as members of our city council. It's a hard job, takes a lot of time.
And they had a variety of opinions on the streeteries and whether they should stay or go and whether businesses should be charged for them.
Recognizing that restaurants were especially hurt, other businesses have tolerated this essentially free property over this extensive time.
Our goal right now is to provide safe outside dining, and we don't believe we should be paying a premium for trying to provide a health service to our community.
This is more than just about streeteries. It's about the way you conduct business on behalf of the citizens.
So the point of this emergency meeting was to decide whether they should knock the one-time fee for these businesses who want to keep streeteries from $4,000 to $2,000. Well, right away, this meeting got off to a bad start because two council members didn't even attend. Okay. And then it devolves into this discussion about whether the meeting they're having is even legal. And some council members are worried that they could be personally sued for having the meeting because there was some disagreement about whether, you know, apparently in order to call an emergency meeting, four council members have to ask for it. And there was this debate over whether three or four asked for it. So at one point in the meeting, one of the council members just straight up signs off.
I'm not comfortable with the grounds that I'm on, and I'm not going to participate. So thank you, and I'm sorry for leaving.
Ms. Hey, Olson, hold on. Let's, oh, there she goes. Well.
Well, indeed. Now you've got three council members absent. Some of those who remain are becoming increasingly nervous that the meeting isn't legal and that they could be personally sued for it. So you have another council member who says he is going to sign off, and here's how the meeting ends.
I'm not comfortable proceeding.
Okay. There needs to be an action by one of the council members to either excuse themselves or, and that would close out the meeting.
Okay, I'll excuse myself.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, so the Edmond City Council passes this new ordinance on a Friday, calls an emergency meeting to change it on a Monday, and then can't even do that because they don't even have a quorum anymore, because they don't even know if the meeting they're having is legal. All the while, you have these businesses wondering what the heck they're supposed to do. When I tell you this was wild, this was wild. But here's why I'm talking about it on Undivided. This goes to the real disaster that we've seen from the government when it comes to its handling of the pandemic. Here you've created a way on an emergency basis for businesses to survive, for restaurants in particular to survive. And all the council needs to decide, the only thing they should be weighing, is whether the pandemic still requires those streeteries for the survival of the restaurants. That's really the only thing they should be weighing. And so this entire mess ensues. They have an emergency meeting that leads to nothing. And to me, it's just another example of how arbitrary some of the response to the pandemic has been. Are the streeteries about COVID, or are they about restaurants just liking that additional space for their business? Now, it would be fine if the city of Edmonds wanted to have a conversation about making some streeteries permanent and what the cost would be associated with that for businesses. Not tying it to the pandemic, but just as, you know, a perk for businesses and something nice for the town to have. But instead, it's this ridiculous conversation they're having under the guise of the pandemic that really just seems like it's about money. And at the end of the day, that entire meeting was a metaphor for the government's handling of the pandemic. Just no common sense whatsoever. Oh, that's all I got time for tonight. I was going to talk about the White House shaming people over the Omicron variant, but maybe I'll save that for Friday and see if there's any follow-up on that. Thank you so much for joining us on the Undivided Podcast. It is brought to you by 1530 Mortgage. Pay them a visit at 1530mortgage.com. Thank you so much for listening. By doing so, you are helping to give common sense a comeback. And if you have not become an Undivided subscriber already, but you've been on the fence, now is a great time to support this mission and the growth of Undivided. You can do so at patreon.com/undivided or by becoming a member of my locals community, brandycruz.locals.com.